Ooh, it's okay.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Can you type his name into the chat? Okay. Shall we get started? I have so much to share with you.
May I just, Eleanor, start this, please? So welcome back to session two, November 7th, 2021, Teach H4U Inspired Self-Care. And Eleanor is giving us just the most wonderful experience with the wonder of our psoas.
Maybe we should call it our psoas system.
Yes. And actually, before, I'd like to welcome Jill. Thank you, and Joy, and Krista. And I thought I saw someone else who wasn't here before, but I think we got you. Then welcome.
Okay. So as women put on their lipstick, I have my chapstick. So there we go.
Frances and Wendy. Sorry, I had to get you. I saw you, but you jumped up in the middle of everybody.
Okay. And Linda, you still have me pinned because somebody had mentioned she couldn't see me.
Each person has to individually pin you on their own computer to go to your...
Right, but for the recording...
Ah.
It's supposed, if she pins it, then it'll go into her recording, I think. Did you pin it, Linda? You're muted.
Yikes. Just a moment. I've got to get you here again. Now I've got to move around and find you. Oh, because you're there. Just...
Valentina, what? It's on the, if you look on my screen of me.
You're pinned.
Gotcha.
Kids, check out Penny Remfer's thing on the chat. It's so exciting. Go, just briefly go to the chat and see what Penny had to say about
her. Oh my goodness. Okay. Thank you. I have not been able to walk up and down the stairs 1 foot at a time. I did the T-touch on both sides of my psoas and also my upper back. During the break, I could walk up and down the stairs 1 foot at a time. Yay! I haven't been able to do this in a long time. And that's what I'm saying. Right? It's like, so here's another one today. What's the definition of bad aging? Is the psoas, if we wake it up and include it in our biological systems of biological joyfulness in welcoming the activation of movement without effort, right? That's biology. Biology is without effort. Biology doesn't produce effort. It is what it is because everything communicates within everything. So if we do that, then we're friends with the stairs. That's wow. Why it's like, what did I say? Your psoas, your friend. The stairs, your friend. Walking, your friend. I mean, I just
love
have
it.
To take a pause in that moment to think about that. So,
yes.
Yeah, man, thank you for sharing that, Valentina. Thank you for letting us know. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Penny. God bless you. Ah, that is too good. Too good. Okay, so let's go. I'm going to try to move this over so I can see my thing. Okay, so let's just do this one more time because we're going to go into the next slide. So the organs rest on the psoas, against the psoas, and these all our organs, or most of our organs, respond to the actions, the movement actions, the innate actions of the psoas, and So do the kidneys, because the kidneys are totally nestled, completely nestled on to the psoas up near the top in the back, completely. So if the nervous system runs through the psoas and the nervous system is overfiring off, therefore shortening the psoas, then that feedback doesn't get to the kidneys, and what's in the kidneys is on top of the kidneys are the adrenal glands. It may cause the adrenal glands to not function as well because they're not getting the fluid, the fluidity, the thorough feedback that comes back and forth from what happens with a very motile muscle that has beautiful motility. You thank you, Kitty. Okay. He's like, cheers on that one. He's a very strong agreeer of things. Okay. Now, very importantly, okay, I got the message. The psoas acts as a pendulum. And we're going to talk about that. So give me a moment. I'm just giving you some pieces and we're going to talk about the pendulum. Acting as a pendulum, the psoas stimulates the flow of fluids through the tissue and the cells. Right? Because there's
this. Say again.
I know, because it's so worth it. That's why I'm standing up. Okay. So the psoas acts as a pendulum. It's got this beautiful pendulum swinging movement. You're going to see a picture. You're going to get the experience in a minute. So in this pendulum movement of the psoas, it stimulates the flow of fluid. See, look, in this pendulum movement, it'll stimulate the flow of fluid. And the flow of fluid and pumping actions through the fluid will go through tissues and cells. And as they go through the tissues and cells, people won't get a dried out psoas. It's like, what do you mean? How does a psoas dry out? It can become dehydrated. It can be a drier tissue. And the act of that pendulum, right? And look at me. Please look at me, right? I'm not just swinging like this. Look at me here. I'm doing like the African walk. And Ruthie Alon did this so beautifully. It was like the African walk. So the African water carriers, they're carrying it, but there's this. This is the swinging I'm talking about. We're not meant to do, Katharine Hepburn, right? With the book on the head and walking that still. It's not about that walking still. It's about this fluid flow. There's just this fluid flow that happens. So when somebody said that, let's experience the walk, and it's not just noticing the walk, but it's this springiness. Where do you think the saying, he has spring in his step, right? It's that springiness. When you see a standard poodle, they spring. Well, they also walk on their toes more. So it's a little bit of a springiness that happened. And in that springy flow, fluid will flow through all of the blood, all the muscles, all the tendons, the ligaments, and through all the tissues, through all the cells. And we know that flow is where it's at. Stagnation, not a good thing, ever. Flow, movement of information, movement of fluids, movement of our body. Normal walking, right? With the swinging of the arms, the shoulders, the freeing of the ribs, the movement of the legs helps the psoas to lengthen with every step. Not stretch. It just says, look at the length you can have
and the length you can have and the length. So it becomes long and comes back. It becomes long and it comes back. Do you see? It's not about every time it becomes longer. It's not in terms of a stretch. It's just you're always lengthening and shortening and lengthening and shortening. That's a definition of agelessness. Coordination, balance, movement, that we can move around ourselves. We can move side to side, right? Side bending, all of that without making it an exercise of breaking it into parts. Now, with normal walking and range of motion, it stimulates the organs and massages the spine. There is no technique in the world that even talks about massaging the spine, because each part of the muscle is connected to all of those vertebrae. So it's moving like this, right? It's moving like this, moving side to side, forward to back, rotation around, and it's constantly pulling and massaging the spine. Look at what a healthy spine, healthy vertebrae. Think of all the people where they have a situation where the vertebrae get lack of calcium and they collapse on each other. Right?
Wow.
Why would the vertebrae lose calcium and collapse on each other unless nothing is constantly moving, massaging, activating, talking, rotating, moving, talking to, communicating? All of that. We know that when muscle pulls on the spine back and forth, it strengthens bone. So walking is the beautiful thing, but walking beautifully is the beautiful thing, right? Because if I walk like this in the world, it's just a fall from one side to the other. But if I'm walking like this, and I'm getting that contralateral movement and my legs free up and I can just lift the legs without too much rotation, right? Just easy movement. All that little movement here and there is going to pull and push and rotate in a healthy way on the body of the vertebrae and massage them and keep the bone strong.
Eleanor, and that is brilliant. And could you just stand up and repeat that part again? And yes, just say, for those who might only be listening to the recording in the future, instead of moving like this, describe the beautiful way you are moving your body.
Yes. So when I'm walking contralaterally means I walk with my right foot forward and my left arm forward. And then I walk with my left leg forward and my right arm forward, right? So homolateral means, homo means the same, contra means opposite. So contradict is to oppose, homo sapiens, the same, homolateral, the same. So if I walk homolaterally, that means I'm going to walk with my right arm and my right leg at the same time, and then my left leg and my left arm at the same time. That's like a teeter-totter falling from one side to the other. Those people, by the way, are always going to end up needing new joints because they're falling on the joint. They're putting incredible pressure and they end up with osteoarthritis in the hip joint and they get a new hip and a new knee. And so that's something important to know. And they get fatigued much faster because it's not a springy activation of all the fluids flowing through the body. So now when I walk contralaterally, meaning my right leg and my left arm, my left leg and my right arm, and it's natural, there is movement, all the insertions of the psoas muscle that connect from the 12th thoracic vertebrae, the bottom thoracic vertebrae, and down every lumbar vertebrae all the way down to connect to the leg, there's going to be this beautiful pulling motion of the psoas connecting to those vertebrae, tugging on them and massaging the vertebrae and activating and increasing blood flow and everything that happens in all the cells and within the matrix of the bone. Therefore, keeping the bones of the vertebrae strong and supple in the directions that they're supposed to move. Is that good, Linda?
It's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning.
I'm sure if I said it again, it would come out a whole other way.
It's really good. And I would like to just suggest, because that was such an important body of information, if we could just see if there are any ahas that anybody gets from that. Oh my gosh. I mean, I got the aha, as you realize, that I had realized for more than a year, I have been walking, keeping my arms still. And for months, I have been walking, spreading my feet out, to give me a sense of staying, of being in balance, because I'm not dizzy. It's just that because of what I'm dealing with, I'm spacey. So I don't really know where I am in space. And so I was walking flat footed and Eleanor said, oh my God, you've got Parkinson's. You're walking flat footed. And I had been doing this to balance myself. And then I'd been keeping my arms still to hold the long line that I have, a 15-foot line that Griffin walks on. So I'm holding it like a lunch line in two hands and not moving my arms. And so, I mean, this is incredible. And how it's changed, just the way I walked. I mean, Eleanor, in what she's going to do with us now, you know, in 3 minutes got me walking again, like, I lengthened, my whole body lengthened, just like without thinking about it. I mean, that's what's so incredible. And I just love to know if anybody else has had an aha from this jewel of information you have just given us in these.
Thank you. Racia. I'm sorry, I didn't pronounce your name right. I apologize. Oops. Unmute yourself and put your beautiful face back on. Do you know how to unmute? There we go. Ah. And your video.
Sorry. Yes, I've recently had, since a long time actually, a tremendous pain in here, in this side. And it was already last time when you were working on the... how to say, colon or that, not the...
Along the colon?
Yes, you were also working here. And I thought, and you were talking about that everyone had pain here. And I realized I was not alone with this. But now I realize this is actually this psoas that is hurting. Because I have arthrosis in the spine. Mm. And if this is connected, I always knew it comes from this. Then this is, of course, hurting. And it gave me a lot of inspiration of how to work with it.
Very good.
I have a friend in California, and she's a belly dancer. And I lived with her for a while, and I learned belly dance from her. And I haven't been, I was for a long time part of a spiritual group where we danced a lot. We had these huge dancing parties. I mean, every... year at after Christmas, New Year, we celebrated and we went just crazy with dancing. It was fantastic, and everybody was free. And recently, I felt so stiff, so rusty. So, and then I started to teach myself the Jerusalem dance because I. Thought it was quite funny that it was around the whole world that people were dancing it. I mean, police in Switzerland, the zoo, everybody was dancing this. And there is tutorials. And I think that's very good. This dance, I can only recommend it because I thought I could never learn this. I was so stiff and I felt like a stone. And then the more I tried, I saw nuns doing this in monasteries. So I thought if a nun can do it, I may as well learn it. And it's great because it does move, I think, this area tremendously. Mm-hmm. Once you get it, and all of a sudden I got it, you have to learn, you have to really go into these tutorials. But
well, you know, and the thing is for the rest of the world who doesn't have such good movement, often without that really great tutorial will just, Valentina, I think she's talking about belly dancing, is the...
No, about the Jerusalem dance.
Jerusalem, oh, something.
The Jerusalem dance I learned. And there is
how do you spell it?
Jerusalem dance from Master K. It's a young man. He's, I think, 24 years old. And he
belly dance from that is no, maybe,
yeah, this was California. This is my friend, she's a belly dancer. I'm in contact with her. This dance is the globe.
Jerusalem. So you Teresa was showing it. No, Teresa was just showing it. Look at Jerusalem. Teresa.
We can't see you, Teresa.
Yeah. Look.
Whoa. I really recommend it. It's such
fun.
Thank
you so much, Racia. I appreciate it.
And it certainly helps this... psoas too tremendously, because once you get it, it's difficult at the beginning, and I thought I would never get it, but once you get it, you can do it in your home. You need a little bit of space. It's sort of like in a cross, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And then I would like for Penny, would you be willing to say what you just wrote about, you know, the walking with your dogs and what you're thinking. Where are you? Let me find you if right you here. Can.
You see me?
Oh, there you are. Hi.
So for a long time, I go to the chiropractor every week and I have a massage that, you know, therapist that does trigger points and everything, but I still feel like a Michelin man walking. I always have. I mean, just recently I walked a marathon. I've, you know, been an athlete and everything, but I've been slowly, I guess, tightening up, right? And so just by doing this exercise, or I call it exercise, just by doing the T-touch in my inner groin and the outside, and my arms were short too, so I was sitting down doing it, and then I did it, behind, you know, like with my fists around my upper, you know, kind of where my natural waist is, where I saw it was attached. And I took the dogs out for the break, and I basically just right down the stairs and came right up, foot, hand, you know, just like this. And I was practicing, you know, marching, lifting up my legs and my knees, and I can do it. And it's like, wow. And so in the past, it's like, oh, I don't want to walk the dogs. So I don't. This is my little 6-month-old in the back.
Hey.
Oh. And now it's like, okay, I feel like I take them out in the rain. You know, let's just go out after class today and we'll just go for a walk, you know, because I just feel so much better. Just the little bit I did is amazing.
And might I say, it's kind of life changing.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be doing this all the time. I mean, just a little T-touch every morning, you know, and you know, because I was like Linda, the way she was explaining walking earlier, just a few minutes ago, and I felt the same way. And I didn't even realize how much my world was shrinking until just now, where it just opened up. Well, thank you.
And you know what, Penny? It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And, you know, if I can get far enough into the showing the slides, you'll see what are some of the postures you'll see in people that you'll recognize when you're out and about and go, oh, the both psoas are short. Oh, the right one or the left one, you know, you'll be able, and then you'll go, oh, look at that dog. Well, look at that four-legged animal. And you'll recognize in the animals as us. You know what got me going on this, Linda, was a couple of weeks ago when Rachel, I don't know her last name, gave that beautiful Saturday class through
it was about pain in the community, in the Tellington T-Touch community. She was talking about unrecognized pain in dogs.
Right. And I start, and I went, oh, would you mind if I share a walking, a cute little walking video on with dogs at a dog beach? Because this was recognizing pain in animals. And I had done this a handful of years ago, looking on the beach, all the different ways dogs walk. And I would always whisper to my husband, oh, that little dog's going to have a problem. Oh, that's an old dog. Oh, that's a young dog. Oh my God, that one's going to need a replacement part. You know, and my husband has to live with this with me because I do this on humans, whispering into his ear, and on animals. Look at how that person walks. And then go figure, I'm the one that gets injured. You know, so it's like, okay, it comes back and I have to laugh at the whole universe about all. And so the thing is, I did a video, and with the permission of each owner, videoed their dog walking away, you know, along the beach, and then or walking back towards me or whatever, and then asking their history. And then as a freebie, I gave each one of them a couple of points and tips that they could do with their animal to help their animal improve their walk so that they don't become that side to side walker that ends up losing ability and vitality. And at the end was a dog that had a replacement part put in there, and then a little like 5-second interview with the actual owners about their diligence that they did for helping their animal and how beautiful this animal was walking with a brand new replacement part and what that means. And so whether they're young or old or being able to diagnose, there were a man walking two West Highland Terriers, and I'm partial to Westies and Scotties. We've had them before in our lives. And watching the walk, and I went, you see that dog? And I'm whispering to my husband, has a problem with the right kidney? It has Cushing's. It's undiagnosed Cushing's. He's like, tell me how you know that. I'm like, look at hyperadrenal corticosteroid production on the kidneys because of the walking. And the walking is showing that there's a problem on that kidney. So I talked to the owner. The man said, yes, my dog lifts her leg. She pees on everything. She's more aggressive. She's gotten grouchy and goes after the other one, et cetera. So I said, do me a favor. When you take her for the next vet check, go get that test. It's a very simple test, and text me back. The next week I got a text. She had Cushing's, and we were able to see it by the walk. So our walk tells a story. And our life can show in our walk. There are walking specialists that teach the Hollywood actors how to walk so they don't trip when they're going up to get their Academy Award. Because it's funny to walk in front of 1,000 people. You know how if you've ever had to walk up onto a stage and you're like, oh my God, I don't remember how to walk. It's very important. Why? The psoas is part of the nervous system. And if our nervous system is super activated, the psoas gets all wonky and it affects our walk. Yeah, no, it didn't work on Jennifer Lawrence. I was just thinking about her. Yeah, well, you know, now she learned her lesson and she's not walking in public. I don't know. Okay, my kitty agrees. Okay. Kitty. Okay. Okay. Listen, you know what? He's 19 years old. Life isn't perfect. Oh, I know. Okay. So when the psoas moves freely, it allows your legs to move freely. You know, you hear about people talking about core. Core is the iliopsoas complex, meaning the psoas muscle and the part of the iliopsoas that wraps along the back of the pelvis. It's the abdominal muscles and the hamstring muscles. And it's the balance between these three groups of muscles. How many of you ever knew what your core muscles were when they're telling you, oh, we need to strengthen your core? And you're like, what? Like, what are those? And nobody really even knows. And this is by Liz Koch. Okay. The function of the psoas is to act as a shelf that massages your organs and your spine. It acts as a tensile. It can act as a tensile structure or a guide wire to stabilize the muscle, the spine. But the priority is not for support of the spine. The priority is to inform the spine. Because what happens if it acts only as tensile strength? It's going to give way on one side than the other. And the definition of that could be called scoliosis, because it's going to pull more on one side than the other. And it can become rigid. So we don't want it to be tensile, but it can be tensile, but it doesn't live for that strength. It's not supposed to be always activated and strong. It's supposed to inform it and give it feedback, hence massage it and let you rotate and side bend and walk forward and back and backwards and sideways like that beautiful dance in life. It's part of a fluid neurocore system. It allows the sympathetic nerve fibers to flow and move their information. And look at me with my hands together. It is neutral. It is supple. And it is supportive. It is neutral. It is supple and it is supportive. It can act as support to stabilize the spine, but in movement, not in one place. In movement, we are designed to move. So let's see. So just for a moment, if you're willing to stand for this lesson, it's literally going to be just a moment. So if you're willing to stand, okay, now let me come back and see you. So if you can stand and just lift one leg, feel how you stand on one leg. Yeah, I'm watching you. Good. Now come back and stand on the other leg. Is it the same on one leg as it is on the other? Can you feel that maybe you wobble more through the ankle joint? Maybe your arms go a little airplane on one. Although now keep in mind, oh no, I can feel for me where it is. So I'm more stable over my right, not as stable over my left, because my left side has had lots of injuries on the left side. So can anybody feel that one side it's more stable? Yeah, give me a finger up if it's more stable on one side than the other. Okay, good. Wow, you're all human. I'm loving it. Okay, so now let's go to the inside side and go where we're touching along the inside of the groin. Okay, holding inside, we're going to follow that hip bone, the iliac bone, down here close to the bottom, in there, and then to the inside of the leg with the other hand. And now we're going to just touch, oh, so lightly. Let's see, probably you want to see my head too. One sec. So, oh, so lightly, going a circle and a quarter. There, okay. So it's oh so lightly. See, for me, it already activates a breath, hence quieting or connecting the sympathetic fibers and parasympathetic, the resting, the stabilizing, the comfort, and then we let it glide back down. And then go ahead and go in again. And it's not, wherever you touch is okay. You don't have to get too specific because as Linda says, we're really in the touch bringing light into the cells. So no matter where you're bringing the light into the cells, it's going to spread to all the cells in the area and maybe even through the whole body. So we go circle and a quarter, and then we're going to spring in and go in like a laser and then sponge. So the sponge is going a little bit sponging in and away, in and away. And then at the end, go laser into the touch with a touch all the way deep inside without making it deeper physically. Let yourself breathe and come back. And one more time along the inside of the groin, the iliac crest with one hand and the other hand going to the inside of the thigh bone, going around a circle and a quarter. Let your shoulders be soft and drop, and then going up and sponge a few times. Sponging in the touch, and then like an idea of sending the light in like a laser without going any deeper physically, but more in the laser of the touch. See if that elicits a breath, and then ever so slightly come back and slow with the release. So slow that every moment matters how slowly you release. Let your shoulders drop, Megan. Easy. And then come back and just stand on your legs, both legs. Come back and stand on one leg, the easy leg. And then go stand on the leg that needed the balance. Is it more stable on the side that needed the balance before? If the side that was wobbly, can you, first of all, raise a hand if you feel a difference on the side that was wobbly at first. Okay. Was there an improvement? Was there not an improvement? Okay, go back. Was there an improvement? Ah, you see? So what we went into ever so lightly, using awareness in the slowness of the circle and a quarter touch with the lift in, the light sponging, and then sending in the laser. And then ever so slight beginning to release, and you do it a few times. So look at that. We didn't even do movement patterns. And what happened is that went into the bottom part where it connects in, and it activated all the way up through the psoas and was able to give more balance. You can do this on yourself, sitting, standing, but always do a pretest. Always give yourself a pretest and notice. So Martin, when you're doing it, you want to give a check it out, lift a leg. Oh, you can't see me that way. Lift a leg, notice the balance, because that's showing the psoas. And then, right? I didn't mean to go across me, sorry. Right? And now go to, now I'm well balanced on the left. Okay, but you'll see one side will be different than the other. And be aware, don't lift and tilt. You want to try to stay up, right? So in other words, otherwise the person who tilts is using the psoas as a guide wire holding it. So we want to be able to let it create that suppleness, right? If it's just used as a guide wire with a pole up the middle, then we're going to go sideways. That's one look. If we can use it in that suppleness, then we can lift, go to the side and stay upright too. See, look. See, my leg is up and I can still move. So that's allowing it to use as a guide wire. And by the way, sometimes people feel pain down here in the lower left quadrant. That's in part with the psoas tugging. So when we soften that area and activate that area, we get a generalized improvement and we get those funny places where we get a stitch, a pain, a tug, less of a tug. So how often is the problem initially an organ, or is it because the psoas is getting tight? So does anybody have a question? I go on. Okay.
Eleanor, oops.
You bet.
Sorry.
Let me go up.
Wait.
I could go quickly if you want me to go quickly. I just have good information.
No, I don't want you to go quickly at all. There was a question in the chat.
Oh, I didn't see it. Thank you.
Yeah, but we can ask it. We can do it after. It's from Jennifer, and actually maybe you can address it later. There's no rush.
Well, okay. So Linda, thank you. Jennifer, thank you. If you have a small dog and you tie the dog around your waist, that's one thing. But if you have a big dog and you tie the dog around the waist, holy moly, talk about back injury out the wazoo. So look at this. Okay. Because even my husband brought it up to me, because you know what I did one day? I'm like, honey, here, you walk both the dogs. I'm just going to walk. And he goes, oh, he knew, because I have a 5-year-old and a 17-year-old. And my 17-year-old, all she wants to do is sniff. And the 5-year-old, all she wants to do is go ahead. Right. So I'm literally walking, both arms completely stretched and leading. I look like I'm a fencer, but you know, how far can you go? And I have an injured shoulder from my 17-year-old who tore my rotator cuff muscles 6 months ago because she did a yank to find a sniff. And I'm like, and it just was like, the tear was like, oh, for goodness sakes. So, but yet still I'm doing quite well. But the being rotated, it's not a safe thing. So one day I give him and I'm like, let me have this day off so I can really work with my walk. And he goes, well, I have an idea. When I'm not with you, why don't you tie him around your waist? Right? I just started to laugh. I'm like, sure, if I have a chihuahua, you know, but, you know, but no, you know, with a big dog. So what you're going to have is this, okay? Imagine that I got one standard poodle pulling this way and the other way. So I'm going to be walking like this, you know, and trying to balance it, right? I'm going to try to balance it by bringing my pelvis forward. Talk about, imagine what that does. How do you rotate yourself forward? By activating the what? The psoas. So that would mean if my one dog is pulling this way and my other dog's pulling me that way, right? One's pulling me this way and one's pulling me that way. And I try to activate my psoas to rotate me forward. Can you imagine the psoas, the heartache I would have of the left psoas, the organs, the spine, the groin, my female parts that I have left, right? I mean, that's all I have is my vagina, but I'm just saying it's the soreness, because what I could end up with would be soreness down here. And I would not understand, but that's because that would be getting yanked. Holy smokes. So I'm like, yeah, not going to happen. Never going to do that unless I'm walking a kitty, you know, or a super small dog, but never going to do that with two medium or large dogs. But it is a thought, but I worry about people walking with them on the waist because I always see a slight pull and now they're being thrown into lordosis. Yeah, just my observations. So don't make me make a video of that. So screen share. Okay. What are some of the problems that the psoas can look like? A short psoas, let's say it's short on the right and left. Those people, right? It's short and it's going to cause the belly to come out and the pelvis tucks back. So remember, always the depiction, Marnie, you might laugh, the depiction in the old days was the cowboys, right? The old cowboys from Texas, and they're walking with their hands like this, and the pelvis is rocked back. It doesn't mean they have a huge belly. It's just the belly is hanging forward. And Moshe Feldenkrais talked about it all the time too, right? And now I understand what's happening is the psoas is shortened back here and it's pulling the pelvis there and dropping the belly forward, and either they pump up the rib cage or the rib cage is dropped down. There's different things that people do to accommodate those postural changes. And Moshe would talk for days about what happens when people are in that chronic, not to mention the low back pain, holy moly, right? So that the rib cage is thrust forward and it distorts the breathing so that the person does chest breathing rather than full body breathing. And in a time and an era that our breathing is so important. And it's not just important for overall health, but it's important for our brain health, right? So we want to see, like a newborn baby, we want to see the whole body involved in the breathing, not just chest. So if someone is only chest breathing and they don't get breath movement in the belly, that usually is an indicator of short psoas. So we can do rocking pelvis, rocking the pelvis side to side, rocking the pelvis forward and back so that the whole spine moves together, the breath changes, and the psoas changes with it, and overall wellness. Now, what's another descriptor? One leg shorter than the other. Now, on occasion, one leg physically was born shorter than the other, but if one psoas is pulled, it's going to pull it up like this. Right? So I notice my female, I have two females, standard poodle, the one that's 17. Recently, about a month ago, I noticed, oh, what's going on? She's standing, right? One is higher. In other words, one hip is higher than the other. And I'm like, oh, a chiropractor would go in and go, it's a hip problem. It's a spine problem. You know what? I put my hands under, supported her psoas, and immediately she let it come back and was completely balanced. So isn't that interesting to have our animals to explore and experiment with? One side became shorter because it's pulling up. And yes, that's going to rotate the spine and have a spine issue too. But now we can get it right where we need to. The other thing is a big deal is scoliosis. That's a big deal. It affects almost everyone in life. If the psoas is pulling, there's going to be a curve in the spine in the places we don't want it. And it's also going to make hip and knee problems, injuries because of poor alignment. Just know that decrepit in the hip joint for people who never had a hip injury and they need a hip replacement, you have to ask yourself why. If it's pulling all the time, it can cause strain on the hip. And it inadvertently, it is connected with where we rest the knee. So if we can create this harmonic movement, we touch and move ourselves, we work with this contralateral walking, we're going to help support our knee.
Can we see the videos?
Of the dogs?
Whatever you're going to show us. I think we need to move on.
Yes. Okay.
It's late for some people. Remember, we've got people
in here. Did I stop screen sharing? Okay. So yeah. Everybody. Okay. I agree. I feel it too. Okay. So can you take your towel? Do you all have a towel?
Yep.
Okay, is everybody comfortable to go lie on the floor? And can you move your camera so I can see you?
No, how are we gonna do that?
Can you tilt your camera down to the floor so I can see you like that? If not, I'll talk to the air, it's okay. Maybe if one person can tilt their camera down and I can see them, then I can talk to you, but you'll all know what I mean. Can anybody tilt their screen down?
Sorry, I can't get to the floor. Sorry.
You can't get to the floor. So Megan, you're gonna take the towel, you're gonna roll it up and you're gonna put it behind you along the chair. Thank you for saying that. So we wanna create kind of like a soft roller. Oh, good. I see people lowering their thing. So
what are we doing with the towel?
So now please make your way to the floor if you're able to make your way off the floor too. If you're not able to get to the floor and get back up from the floor, take the towel, roll it up, and put it behind you in the chair. Okay. Racia, are you on a bed?
Yes.
Okay, if you're on a bed, you're not going to be able to roll because the mattress will be too soft. I need the... Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay,
so what do we do with it on the chair behind us?
We're going to just roll it up and put it on the chair right behind you, the length of your spine. But it needs double it up, Linda, so that
I don't have a chair. I have to get a chair.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love this. Becky, your dog is loving you being on the floor. Yes, our animals love us when we join them in their world on the floor. Ugh, it's like dolphins. Don't play with me outside the water. You want to join me? You can join me in the water. I have nothing to do with you when you're on the outside of the water. Come into my world. So look at Becky's dog. I got a tail. I'm super happy. Look at you. You're in my world on the floor. Okay, if you're on the floor, bend up your knees so that your feet come to standing hip width apart. And let the towel rolled up be behind your head all the way down your spine, to the bottom of your tailbone and your buttocks. And if you're leaning against the chair so that it's all the way behind your tailbone, nice and thick and rolled up, and behind your spine all the way up the chair. And if you can double up your towel to make it as thick as possible, this is great. So if you're lying on the floor, slowly with your legs hip width apart, both layers and sitters, hip width apart so that we're unactivating the psoas, and allow yourself in lying or sitting to roll easily with a supple spine from one side to the other. And notice if you roll to one side easier than the other. Don't roll only your pelvis. Please consider all of you being able to roll a little bit from one side to the other. This is perfect. Lily, I am enjoying being able to see you perfectly with your video camera. Thank you. Ever so easily rolling from one side of the roller to the other. And the most important part is that you feel this rolling along your thoracic spine, the spine that connects all of the ribs, because we're always so willing to over ask of the low back and not include the thoracic part of the spine, the place that chiropractors make such a good living from, because we forget to ask them to be involved in movement. So let all of your vertebrae easily roll easily from one side of the roller to the other. And if you're sitting, you may notice when you look down at your knees that one knee comes forward a little bit. Yes, I'm looking. Okay, and one, and then the other knee comes forward a little bit and the other knee goes back towards the back side of you. So one thigh bone becomes longer in front of you and the other goes back behind you. And one thigh bone comes in front of you and the other one goes back behind you. And noticing your breathing, we are quietly, gently inviting the movement of our psoas to be woken up and to be welcomed into the whole of our body, the wholeness, W-H-O-L-E, the whole of our body in movement. And just come back and rest for a moment on the roller, whether you're lying or sitting. And notice if you're lying, if one knee wants to flop in. Yeah? Can you notice one knee tends to flop in a little bit more than the other? Even if you're sitting, you may notice one knee flops in more than the other. And that can happen because that psoas is shorter on that side. So we're just going to keep moving. The pelvis moves, the body rolls to one side of the roller, and then the body moves to the other side of the roller. And notice, does the body move to one side more than the other? And now, please put your hands on your sternum if you can. And we're going to give ourselves the heart hug while we're lying on the roller or sitting against the roller. And feeling it move all the way through. Can you feel that it moves through your thoracic vertebrae? Let your knees stay bent. Let your knees stay bent. Yeah. And can you feel as you give yourself the heart hug starting at 6 o'clock, going all the way around the clock, all the way slowly noticing the curve of every number connecting all the way through till you get to 6 o'clock and back slowly to 9 and then back down to 6. And as you do this, can you notice that your thoracic vertebrae move against this towel? Who can notice that the thoracic spine moves against the towel? Because this is an invitation for the spine behind you that often isn't in movement, and then the low back or the neck have to make more movement than they should have to. Come back, let it rest. Let the arms down to the sides. And ever so slightly, roll yourself from one side to the other, letting your legs go easily. Oh, can you feel how easily your body can roll over the roller, over the roll towel, whether you're lying or sitting? Does the movement happen through your whole spine? And now look down, if you're sitting, look at your knees, that your right knee comes in front and the left knee goes back in the direction behind you. And is the other way, the left knee goes in front of you and the right knee goes back behind you. Come back, let yourself breathe. And now again, just roll along the towel and ask yourself, is this rolling the same as it was before, or is it different? Do you feel that there's more of a coordinated movement? Yeah. Ah, I know, it elicits a yawn. It elicits the stretching reflex, the relaxation, the coordination of all the systems within our nervous system to create balance and harmony. And breathing becomes easier. And then slowly roll, whether you're lying or sitting, and move slowly, little by little, the towel out from behind you. Ever so little, just move the towel out, little by little by little. And then leave yourself in the lying position with your knees bent up or long, or if you're sitting. And notice if your spine feels different. Your back. Is there more room for your back to feel the surface of what's behind you? Yeah. So slowly now, bring yourself up, take your time.
Do we have to?
Not really. I understand. Oh, so delicious to be lying down and doing these touches on ourselves and movement, because it's so much work to sit. for so long. And take your time, slowly but surely, noticing your breathing, because when you breathe easily, your psoas is fed with nourishment. Because there is a shelf at the top of your psoas called the diaphragm, and there is a shelf down at the bottom. And in that shelf, which is rich with muscle nerve connection, gets feedback. And that can be involved in our emotions, our psyche, our happiness, our easiness. And now take your time and just walk around the room and notice your movement of your walk. And if you could put your video on you, I'd love to be able to see you. If you can't, that's okay too. Most important, just do the walk and notice your walk. Oh, good. Oh, Linda, I don't even know. That's beautiful swing for you. Crossing over. Take the shoulders. Let the shoulders go down and up, down and up, down and up, down and up. Okay, come back. As we're standing, if we had walking poles, and if we can get walking poles for the next one, I will do a thing with you. If you don't have walking poles, put your hands in this 45 degree angle? In this, right, 90?
Yeah, yes.
This is 45 degree.
Right.
Okay. So as I'm holding the poles, look, it's just encouraging me to do this kind of walking. Okay, so if I didn't have the poles, I'm keeping the arms, but I'm going like this. So in other words, I have one foot in front of the other. So Linda, have one foot in front of the other. It's called the step position. And you're going to have the legs hip width apart, not wider, just right under you. And as you bring the hands parallel to your body, you're bending. And then as you bring one arm in front and the other arm behind, you're straightening, but never locking your knees. And then you're bending and straightening, never straightening all the way to the top of locking, just bending. So you're going down and up, down and up, with the arms being bent, going forward and back, forward and back, just a few times. Yeah.
Your arms are going up. Your hands are going up to your shoulder height when you don't have your poles.
Yeah. So thank you.
But that doesn't happen with poles.
You're right. Sorry. There. See? So if I have my, thank you. Wow, Linda. Thank you. I'm so used to using the poles. So look. Okay. So now I'm giving myself feedback, plus your feedback. Thank you. There. That's why these poles really work. And if you ever want me to do this with the group, we can do this and we can do it next time. And it's absolutely essential. And even if you just have a stick and a stick, right? So Linda caught me, and I've been doing this for years. And yet without the poles, I was coming this way because that's what we do when we walk. But with the poles, what we're doing is we're encouraging contralateral movement, right? So down in front, down and back, down in front, down and back. Always one is in front and one's back. There, and then just come back and rest. And now do, yeah.
The difference is, for any of you who might think, oh, why would I want the poles? The difference is when Eleanor shows us, I don't know if you're going to show us those people bending forward. I was walking like a 90-year-old before.
Yes.
I was forward.
Right.
And when I walk with the sticks, which I've been doing now the last 4 days, I go straight up.
Yes. Right. Because?
Really different.
Because, as my mother would say, we started on all fours, and what's wrong with going to all fours? We forget to use all fours. So when we use our feet and the poles, we're now using four limbs. See, I am my upper body and my lower body are connected with the floor. And so when we're using this, it actually brings us upright. It brings us upright. Walkers, when you give an older person a walker, the first thing it does is somebody needs to regulate it so that the walker is high enough. But the problem is the walker immediately loses this shoulder swing. So immediately they shorten the psoas and bend forward. And then the head is forward and they just walk like that. It
and
becomes
Eleanor
Cooper. Yes.
There, I was speaking with a woman on my class yesterday. It was really, really interesting. We were ground driving horses, and there was a woman on there I'd never seen before, and she has Hungarian horses. And Pam Beats was assisting me, and she said, "Maybe you'd like to speak to this woman, Jolene." And so I spoke with her after, and she is a paraplegic from a horse accident many, many years ago. And I said to her, and she looks beautiful. She's like 72 and she's so vibrant and alive. And I said to her, would you mind, after we ended the driving, ground driving, and I started a whole conversation with her, what I thought would be interesting for all of you, because I said, I would like you to share with me how you have managed to be so positive, and how did you learn to live with your limitation over all these years? Because she's had it for many years. Because it's a big question for me, because I know many of you are living with your body doing things it didn't used to do. And I am the same thing. I have my arthritis, autoimmune disease of the thyroid, Hashimoto's, Epstein-Barr virus, and one other thing. And I thought, one day I'm fine. Like when I'm here with all of you sitting still, if I don't stand up, I am really like totally present and in my body. And how do I learn to accept how this is, and you know what I practice, many of you I know also practice, like giving gratitude for what we can do, but how do we learn to live with that? Or do we? And it was really interesting. And one of the things that she said was talking about in a way that I had not heard yet in some of the discussions we've had with people who are dealing with the same thing. And that is this concept of pacing ourselves. And for those, because I asked about my friend Kate Reardon, well, holy mackerel, you know, with these poles, and there's something called a pacer pole. And I wonder if any of the rest of you, I looked it up on Amazon, and she said they're really different, but I can't see any difference from what I've got, great poles. Anyway, I said, what do you do with a walker? Because it hunches you over. And when we're not upright, we can't breathe. I mean, besides what the psoas is doing with all of this, we can't breathe. And there is a type of walker, which I'm going to order for my friends. It has bigger wheels, and it, you walk upright instead of leaning on it. And I just saw it's called a, and I can't find it. It's called the Evolution.
Yeah, Evolution, I think, Elevator. A second, no. I have it in my notes.
Elevator? I didn't write that. It's evolution.
Let me look. I have it.
It's I just saw it for those any of you knowing anyone.
It was the evolution walker.
Yes, and it's the evolution style in the evolution brand. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a different, yeah. It's the a different they the have musical. Many different ones. Yeah. And
okay, but Linda, before
so anyway, I just wanted to, Eleanor, sorry, I just wanted to bring this up a moment, just because what I'm sorry, but what you're saying here, this information about psoas and that beautiful lesson, I mean, that lying on the roll towel was way more effective for me than on a roll, than on than what we would usually use, way more effective.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to bring this in because, you know, when we started all of this, we were interested, how do we support each other day to day and in our lives? And this is such amazing information, I think, the way you're bringing this, Eleanor. Helpful.
You know, so to know that when we encourage this upper body to move, not falsely, not overdone, but biologically, we turn on our biological systems. And then they take care of us throughout the whole thing without us having to think. And then what you'll notice is more of that heel toe springiness. So yesterday I was in a seminar all day long with a group of pretty amazing people. They were all chiropractors. And, but these guys were like in their mid to late 70s. And oh my goodness, did they move beautifully? I mean, I was just like so happy to, but it was an unusual kind of seminar, right? So, and they appreciated with the way I was bringing in movement. And the thing that we were able to kind of play with critiquing, like, oh, when did that injury happen? And how do you see it? Is you saw a shuffle. You saw the lack of a heel toe walk, that springiness of the heel and toe. We need that springiness. And so one of the things I was playing with recently that I showed Linda even to activate those systems is something that Ruthie Alon taught, which is called kicking the sand back. So you take your toes and you kick your toes back. So you take off your shoes and you just kick your toes back, kick your toes back. So I'll show you kind of what that looks like. Let's see, because that wakes it up. Hold on. One sec, I'm gonna really tilt this. Oops, can you see my foot?
Yes.
Where is it? I don't see it.
Hold on, we did see your foot.
Oh no, that's a shoe. One second, let me put me so I can make me larger. Oh yeah, okay, here. Where am I? There we go. Wow, okay, I'm gonna do this foot, one sec. Okay, do you see this foot, my left foot? So it's, I take the toes and I spring them back, just spring them back. So if you can, literally, that's all you have to do as you're sitting, and spring them back, spring them back. And be careful not to overdo, because if you haven't used all these muscles in the back of the legs long, you can end up with a Charlie horse in the middle of the night. And so you see how the toes are shorter. So you see there's a curve action, and then took, took, took like that, took. And then go walk. And then go walk, and you'll see the walking of heel toe to be woken up, because the heel, I mean, the ankle joint is rich in proprioception.
rich in proprioception, where the nerves go down and up and they tell us what to do. So when we do this brushing action, we're waking up the proprioception in the ankle joint, and then we'll improve our walking. We improve our walking, we improve the psoas. We improve the psoas, we improve our mind, our spine, our organ functioning. I mean, it all ties in. So you can get with the pulls. And again, Linda and everybody, if you want me to do a thing where everybody orders pulls on Amazon and we can do, we can. Whatever you want me to do, I can take it in that direction, because getting that contralateral biological optimism to wake back up will make all the difference in the quality of our life.
So Eleanor, what I would like to suggest, we have only 15 minutes left of our session, and mm-hmm. I would like to hear some feedback from people. And we have quite a few people who can't use the poles in our group here.
Okay. Can't
walk easily. And so I would like to bring this in as we talk about these things. Know that you can imagine doing that and actually move the parts that you can move. And I really appreciate just this feeling of, that you demonstrated that I can sit here and I have one of these, I'm not sitting in a chair. If I sit in a chair when I get up, Penny, you talked about feeling rusty, or somebody, I forget, talked about feeling rusty. I'm like, no, it was Razia. Yes, rusty tin man when you get up. But if I don't have that feeling because I'm on a moving little thing that really works for me, I'm going to just show you. But I want us to think, for those of you, I know there are quite a few here who can't easily move. See this stool, and it's on a, and these are spongy. So I sit with that between my legs, and it's like kind of sitting in a saddle. And, but I want to know, how does that feel to you as we're, for those of you who can't move so easily, to imagine that movement, and that we all support that. And when you're imagining walking like this, I just like to give that that process for you, all this stuff, that this beautiful information that Eleanor's been giving us, that you even take a few minutes every day and just imagine in our beautiful forests. We're not going to go there today because we don't have the time today, because I really want to stop on time, and I would like to get feedback. And so if you could write in the chat, if you would be interested in the polls, we could do that possibly on a Tuesday. And I'm hoping that I can, I'd like to hear back from you if you can't actually physically do it, if it would be interesting for you if we imagine the next time that we're doing it in our magical forest, and imagine that you can move, and we'll just come out of our physical bodies and do it together. So Eleanor, if this has been so beautiful, and I would really like to take our last 14 minutes and just have a little bit of sharing from you. And if there's a part that is hard for you, if you would say that so that we can support you, because often we don't have a chance to say that. And in two Tuesdays ago, or three Tuesdays ago, Ava from Israel said, I don't get it. I can't feel positive about my body. I'm feeling terrible. And so we did a whole process and acknowledge that, because sometimes we have to have someone to share that with. Mm-hmm. And then the energy of the group, the last two Tuesdays have been, she's totally changed her because we heard her. And I just want to take this opportunity to get some feedback from you. And if something was hard, if you can do like one little thing that, wow, is inspiring besides the difficult part. So Eleanor, let's just open this up.
Yeah, we have a few people with their hands up. So Marnie, right. Would you like to say something?
Yeah, actually, we probably don't need to do it now, but Linda, sometime you need to explore the thing you're sitting on and where we've tried to find it, and the company's out of business and it's Danish. And so I thought maybe sometime we should explore, because having a chair to sit on that moves is incredible, but they're the one she has is hard to find totally. There's some things that are out there. Anyway, I thought sometime, but obviously not now, but I thought sometime.
Marty, let's talk about it after, and I'll call and see if Wendy's is available. Remind me.
It is different, but it's the only thing that's close.
Let's see. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Marnie. Anna?
I have spoken about when I was almost 8 years old, celebrating my eighth birthday. Well, I was actually going to turn seven, so I was just on my eighth birthday. So I was basically seven. In August, my birthday is September 8th, and I spoke about being molested by my paternal grandfather. And what happened was, I learned when the light was on, I can make everything dark with my eyes open. And when I finally got home, I never told anybody because I never had any language for sex. I didn't, I was just scared. I was hiding in the closet, room closet, as I mentioned. I started hiding in bushes. I was just hiding. And I was only there for basically four nights. And the last night when my grandfather came in and said he wanted to hug me, and of course pulled down my little cute little panties and started looking down here. I've mentioned this before in the group on Tuesdays. And what happened was, I'm not crying right now, but what happened was when I was home one day, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw this hand come up. It was my own hand, but I screamed at the top of my lungs. And my mom obviously heard me. They put me in between, I was in their bed, and I started pulling up, because when my grandfather came in, after he did this thing down here, the moon was out, he came in the middle of the night, naked, a long cock, and I turned over to my left side, and I said again, I am a steel rod, I'm impenetrable, inflexible, I mean, all these words, I didn't even know where I had the words. And I became the steel rod. And really, all of a sudden, I was pulling up all the time for the rest of my childhood. And it really wasn't until, I'm now 67. When I started with Moshe, studying with Angel and Richard, I could not believe I had no feeling at all down in my pelvis on my left side, because I had boom, boom, boom. My right leg was going out and my left was pulling in all the time when I was in bed, pull, pull. So I know for me, what you just helped me again to explore, I will continue, because, with Feldenkrais, I can't believe how much I've changed. And now to be able to even talk about it and not cry has really been about this wonderful way to connect with all parts of myself and really say I'm precious and that I love myself. And that's the hardest thing to say, just that you actually love yourself. Forgive myself. So again, and I just want to say, I'm going to end soon, but I want to say thank you for bringing what is her name? The Healing. Oh, I had the book here. I'll talk about it next time when I see you. But Hay, what's her name? First name again? I'm losing my mind. Linda Hay?
Louise Hay.
Oh, I had, because she changed my life. She made me say, made be more positive. I had no idea she started Hay House. I was like, what? So thank you for bringing her into my consciousness again. Hmm. And just everything you've been sharing, I have been connecting with my gallbladder and my liver, and obviously up here. I mean, everything you're bringing into the, our actual sense of healing and loving ourselves. So Eleanor and Linda and the whole community, thank you for always expressing right here. Thank you.
Love you, Anna. Who would gift us with the sharing? Because when you speak out, you manifest it.
Yes, Megan has her hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I had to leave for a few minutes to go bring my horse in from his little grazing experience with his little grazing muzzle, my horse that has laminitis, who is much better, by the way. And I was walking, of course, in sandals, which, you know, let's go to the barn in sandals. And I was walking and it was free. It wasn't nearly as tight and scary as it can be for me, because I do use a cane. And I cannot wait to keep doing these exercises, especially the ones, you know, it's hard for me to get there, but pulling up and, you know, the, with working the T-touch in the psoas, you know, the attachment and everything. So yes, I will be doing mine. I just had a quick question. I put it in the chat, but I have walking poles because I did work with a Feldenkrais practitioner for a couple years, Bonnie Grace.
Okay.
She's in Sedona and only one there. And I worked with her for a couple years. And one of the things she recommended was to get the walking poles, which I have.
Yay!
So I missed, but I missed the part where you can, you know, these guys, the people use that hike. They use for hiking. These are made by Cascade.
Yeah.
Mountain Tech. Anyway, they're really great. And when I use them, I haven't done it lately, but it does help me walk. And then if I just practice by, and she was very, very definite that it was the
contralateral, not contraception.
Which I do naturally, you know, I've done cross country skiing and stuff like that in my life. So, you know, I'm aware of that movement. But that would be a good thing for me to do, right?
Yeah. I know.
The answer is yes, of course.
Yes, because there is nothing like waking up the biological process of contralateral movement without effort,
Yeah, yeah.
And the poles really help us. And even if somebody can just stand up and hold the poles, we can make a difference in the quality of all your movement. You don't have to even be able to walk. So again, I am more than happy to bring these movement lessons to our Saturday group, even though we're Sunday today. even if you have a 2-foot space in which to walk, even if you only just do it standing, all the way to if you're capable of walking well, will improve every level for that for you. So
I have a nice tile floor, big huge house, tile floor, wood floor, outside flat cement driveway that is safe. I don't think I'll trip because I do have the issue with bringing my thighs up when I walk. I can't do the stairs.
But that's the psoas.
I didn't know that till today.
That's so
it's so awesome.
I know.
Once again, I have hope. So thank you.
Oh, it's possible. It's possible.
And you can't get on a horse if you can't raise your thigh up to get your foot in the stirrup. You know, hello.
Well, think of that. Think of this. How often you go to put a shoe up, right? And you got to do this to your shoe, but the person has to put their hand under to lift it because they can't even lift
it. Just starting to be able to get my feet up to my knee to put the shoe on. And I can't really keep it there long because, you know, there's too much material. But be that as it may, working on that also, it's really hard. But anyway, just thank you because I have known, you know, I read this article about the psoas years ago that the psoas is poise.
It gives it
creates poise for us.
What? So
poise, which is kind of an image.
A joie de vivre, maybe.
it's sort of almost more of a dancer's thing, where it's the poise of movement or the poise of position or, you know, structure. What is it? Anyway, it was a really interesting article. I think it had to do with riding, but if I can find it, I'll bring it sometime. And
so Megan, thank you very much. But I there's a question that I want us to have a chance to answer from Frances. Is there a sleeping position that will help the psoas be healthier and more supple?
Well, not a position per se, as long as you can allow yourself to easily roll on one side, go onto your back, and roll onto the other side. You know, there's therapies that are all about psoas stretching. And I'm like, absolutely not. You don't take muscles like that and stretch it and not think that you end up with a dry muscle and not make micro tears in it. Because if it's been chronically shortened, that's not a good thing. And so it can actually cause it to be more shortened. So what we want to do is, like, if we're rolling on the side, that we work with slow motion. You know how Linda this morning took us through the heart hug super slow? So if you go to one side and super slow, notice your breath, notice your breathing, easily, easily, easily take it to the middle and then all the way to the other side, and then be able to do that to both sides, Frances. That will help. Now, someone else who's a therapist may say, oh, well, just sleep on your belly and stretch yourself like that. Sure. And you can throw out ribs in the back and tweak your neck and hurt the low back, you know, and it's overstretching. So it's movement. It's movement. So
I would, Eleanor, I'd like to also make a suggestion about that, because we invested last year in a smart bed. And it's really made a difference to me, because it has the possibility of lifting the feet and changing the spine and changing the position. And that it's made a huge difference to me. It's just something to think about. So my question to you, Frances, and how many of you sleep on your back with a pillow under your knees? Or if you sleep on your side, have a long pillow that goes between your legs so that your ankle is as high as your hip for side sleepers. That's what I did for you. Becky has got her hand up. Teresa, you do it. Yeah, Tyra does it. And and I then bring a pillow under my arm and rest my arm on a pillow. And that really makes a difference to me. And the other thing, I don't know how this is for you, but oh my gosh, some of my European friends still believe that the best thing is to sleep on the floor. The harder the surface, the better for your body. I'm serious. And it's not what the sleep study show.
I'm so sorry. Call me the princess under the pea under the 100th mattress. I want to be super comfortable and not have to wake up thinking, oh, I'm noticing these pressure points.
Right. Exactly. So let's see. So is there, we had a couple of, we have quite a few people who would like the polls. And for those who don't want to invest in polls, is there anything that we could substitute if they're only not going to be walking, they're just going to be standing?
I wonder. Well, if you can find sticks, right? But the thing about sticks, maybe a bamboo stick, you know, bamboo, because that's the only one that's going to be the same as the other piece of bamboo that you go and buy dried out bamboo. But the walking poles, I don't know. I remember they were very inexpensive at the time that I bought them.
Well, it depends how adjustable they are. And on Amazon, there are some like $19 or something. If you're not going to be walking with them, that would be better than a stick. If you're just going to be, because that movement, just standing here would be
incredible. So you want to make sure, see, the nice thing about a walking pole is that we've got this band to just rest the hand in, right? So you don't grip, but that you're resting the hand. The other thing is that it has not just one, but two adjustable pieces. So we want, and again, it's not expensive. And then we'll take the time to measure these just for yourself, for each one of you. So I'll do a whole, you know, moment or several minutes in everyone adjusting their poles specifically for them. And I'll look at everyone. I mean, I have extensive training in this program called Walk for Life. And it's really using the action of this as being a tool, not a crutch to lean in. Now,
stop a minute. Wait, when you say this, you're touching the handle. What do you mean by this?
The pole. Okay. That we're using, thank you. Appreciate that. That we're using the poles as a tool that is giving us feedback from the ground up into our body and encouraging that beautiful movement, that whole body movement. And safety. And there's a lot of things that we do with dragging the pole along the ground to wake up the biological movement to all of a sudden that swinging motion happens without having to think about it. So we have really beautiful things, and I can concentrate it down for you exactly how you need it. And I will tell you, my mother, as she aged, God bless her heart. Next week will be the 1 year mark that she transitioned to heaven. And she loved the walking poles. And she goes, oh, in Switzerland, everybody uses them. And the government passes them out. They don't even let you make you buy them. They give them to everybody. And these are not hikers. It's just everybody walking with them. And she loved it. And so, when she moved to her senior living facility, she got everybody off of walkers and everybody's walking with the poles. The problem is when people would lean the poles against their chair in the dining hall, sometimes the poles would fall. So they're like, oh, we want them safer with a walker. But the thing is it's encouraging this movement. Look, this movement of one shoulder in the front, one shoulder in the back, one shoulder in the front, one shoulder in the back, without thinking about it, without muscular effort, and movement that just translate effortlessly through the body and making your life better.
And I just have to ask a question for somebody who can't stand upright and do it. What about something short so you could sit in your chair and just a little bit of movement? Like that.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. There's other things we can do, Linda, where if we could stand and we lean against a wall, right? We can
be up. Some can't stand. So,
okay, if they can't stand
and you can sit, let's not do it now because.
No, I was going to say we can shorten the pole. We can shorten the pole so much that we just use the pole in sitting, or we just use the hands in sitting. And we imitate it from here. And we do the lesson like I did earlier for those who are sitting. Notice one knee comes in front and the other knee behind as we're sitting to get that movement. It's all waking up.
Thank you so much. May we just finish this up so everybody gets like 1 to 3 words. I'd like just to unmute everybody. And Razia, I'm sorry, did you have, you had your hand up. Is there something that you would like to say now, or are we okay?
I was just wanting to say that there in Switzerland, we have groups who do this all together. You always see women, 10 or 12 women doing it. It's a nice thing to do also in a team. But I wanted to sleeping. A YouTube video of a pain therapist, and he suggested to not use pillows, but he said that that was actually not good for the spine, because when you sleep without pillow...
how old was that guy?
Huh? Yeah, good question.
How old was that guy?
30? He was 28? Young.
Yeah. So let me just go down the list. Apparently, he has no idea what acid reflux is, lying on your back without a pillow. Apparently, he doesn't understand what it feels like when your spine is already sort of bent and your legs are already a little bit twisted, because he's in such perfect shape, right? Come on.
Right. Thank you.
You need to create your environment.
I was believing you. I started to feel guilty. Because I love my pillow.
All right. You heard her, Razia. So think of today, 3 words. 1 to 3 words. So we just do this quickly so we can finish in a reasonable time. So just 1 to 3 words about what you're going away with from today. Who wants to start? And then I'll go from there and unmute yourself so we don't take the time to unmute. Who wants to start with their words? Word or words? Diane, how about you? You unmuted first.
I feel like I have a tool to help others that are having some issues with body structure alignment and, you know, just that simple movement with a pole, how that can help. Yeah. And I've got a couple people in my head besides myself.
Thank you so much. So how about if we go left, Sandra, and then I'm just going to call on you just intuitively, what comes to you? Sandra.
Well, I can't do a lot of that. So I'm trying to adjust my way of thinking, because there's a lot of that I can't do at the moment.
So we want to play with you. I want to play with you to figure something that would be fun for you to do in this movement. So let's think about it together on Tuesday. We'll play with it in the meantime.
I'll try to escape work on Tuesday because I'm home.
Great. Okay. So Penny.
Strong, supple, flexible.
Beautiful. Jennifer, and then Razia, and then Becky.
Low, cross crawl, something about the spine, just more ease.
Beautiful, thank you. Razia and Becky.
Well, joy and inspiration.
Thank you. Becky, and then Valentina, we'll go up and then we'll go back down.
Fluid.
Valentina, and then Tyra. Oops, you're muted. Still muted. Hey.
I can read your lips.
Okay. Three words for greasing the psoas mechanism. Motown's greatest hits. Works like a charm.
And okay, will you explain that on Tuesday? Well, can you kind of, if you can even come on for a few minutes or next time?
I'll put it this way. Put on Marvin Gaye.
Yep.
Anything, yeah, but preferably sexual healing. And I defy you to not move your pelvis and your shoulders in opposition. Keep your knees soft and dance to Marvin Gaye, The Real Dr. Feelgood. Motown's greatest hits. Therapy. Yes.
Tyra.
Ease of motion.
Beautiful. And Anna, I give you the opportunity for think three words.
Appreciation. I love to crawl.
Beautiful. Thank you. Kat, and then Marnie.
Freer.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you. Marnie.
I was just singing and I put an apostrophe in there for three words.
Whoa, beautiful. Megan.
Great, great learning experience.
Great. Eleanor.
Oh. I love you.
Oh. Beautiful. Thank you. So, Francis, and then Joy.
Help our knee injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, thanks. Joy?
Weaving the web of the psoas.
Weaving the web
of the psoas.
Oh, the psoas, beautiful. Simila, did you get enough to have anything to feedback? Were you with us enough?
Yes, I write in the chat that using pulse is good for all the body, but opening and closing the hands, we can use them like pump for the body, like for circulation. And this is a very important movement for all the body. Yes. Thank you.
Beautiful. Very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think you. I got
Wait, everything. Linda. And Linda.
Hope, Joy, four, deep appreciation. I have to do four, deep appreciation. Mm. Was beautiful. Mm. Let us end with a heart hug. Send great love to you all. And it was just beautiful. And look at Eleanor's friend there. And it looks to me like we need to do more of this. And I would like to propose, Eleanor, that we continue with this, with the polls, but also next time. And Sandra, I will find something that is really special for you.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Love you all. Get poles on Amazon. Just make them so they have a strap and two places, or at least one place to adjust. That's all. Keep it simple.
Thank you.
Aloha.
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 Beautiful. And we will end. Stop the recording.